The reading today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, so that's on page 205. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're reading the whole chapter. When all these blessings and cursings I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long enough in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Luke Padgett. I'm one of the students from SMBC, the Bible College down the road, and I'm a regular at the 10:30 service here. My wife and I have been coming to St. James for about 18 months. I might have a few nerves this morning. It's very high up in this pulpit. It's a little higher than it looks from down there. Why don't I pray to begin? Our Father God, these are your words that we've just heard read to us. These are your words now that I'll speak on. I pray that it's your voice that will come through strongly this morning, that we can hear it and that we can listen to it. Amen. So this morning with Deuteronomy 30, we reach the high point of Deuteronomy, the climax, and it's the grand finale to Moses' great speech, which has basically taken up the whole of the book so far. But there's a twist. See, this finale is something surprising. It's not exactly what you'd expect. There's a real tension in this chapter here, Deuteronomy chapter 30. A twist in the tale. What do I mean? Well, you might have noticed that the chapter falls neatly into two halves. In fact, the NIV conveniently puts a little subheading halfway through. That's the halfway point I'm talking about. And the two halves are distinctly different. Each has its own specific focus. Let's look at that first half again. And in fact, I'm going to read it, and let's see if we can pick out what it's focused on. This is the first half of Deuteronomy 30 from verse 1. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you've been banished to the most distant land under heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you back to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so you may love him with all your heart and all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I'm giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands, in the fruit of the womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your lands. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. This first section, I hope you pick that out. It's all about God. Now, I didn't notice this at first. Alan had to point it out to me. But once you see it, it can't be unseen. He's the active party in almost every sentence. It's about his plans, his purposes, his promises. It's what he has done and will do. And what about the second half of Deuteronomy 30? Well, it's a clear contrast. Moses, from talking about the future, snaps right back to the present. He puts it right on the people. God's demands are not difficult or obscure. He says they're right here. I've just given them to you. Obey them. If you obey God, you will live and prosper. If you turn away from him, you will die. Now choose life. In the second half of the chapter, the focus is right back on the people, on what they should do, on how they should respond. Maybe you can start to see what I mean when I say there's a bit of a tension in this chapter. Because the second half of the chapter, in fact, the entire book of Deuteronomy, tries to convince the people to obey God, otherwise everything will go pear-shaped. That's the big idea of the whole book. That's what Moses has been doing all along. Obey God, he says, otherwise disaster. But in the first half of this chapter, right here at the end of his speech, he takes it all right out of their hands. This isn't their story. It's God's story. In fact, he just straight up predicts disaster, total failure. In verse 1 of the chapter, he doesn't say if the blessing. No, he says when the blessings and the curses come on you, when the Lord disperses you among the nations. What's Moses doing here? He's just about to hit his grand finale. Why throw in a prediction of failure? It's like he says, make sure you obey God, but, you know, just so you know, you're going to fail at it. Seems a bit demotivating. Seems to take the wind right out of the sails of that very last appeal to choose life. Well, the first half of chapter 30 is surprising. But it's also really, really important. See, what's really going on here is that this is God's plan. It always was, and it always will be. God's commitment to them, God's eternal offer of redemption and restoration, God's promise to change their hearts so they're able to obey him. This isn't demotivating, says Moses. It's motivating. The future of God's plan isn't in their hands. No. It's their future which is in God's hands. With or without them, God's plan stands. But God folds their obedience into his plans. God incorporates their stories into his great story. You see, this passage encourages them to obedience without confusing their role with God's role. Right before Moses gives one final appeal for the people to obey God, he first, right here in the first half of chapter 30, he first puts it firmly in the context of God's unstoppable plan. In effect, he says, God's plan doesn't depend on your obedience. No, it's your obedience that depends on God's plan. God's plan doesn't depend on our obedience. It's our obedience that depends on God's plan. Well, that's all very well for Moses' original audience, but that was more than 30 centuries ago. And in one sense, we have a very, very different perspective on this passage. See, these promises in the first half of Deuteronomy 30 are actual historical promises. We get to look back and see how this all panned out. And in fact, these predictions that Moses makes is exactly what happened. The people of Israel, they entered the land. Moses is about to die, and after he dies, they enter the land. And they had their ups and downs, but eventually they did turn away from God. And he did judge them, and all these curses that are in the book of Deuteronomy fell on them. In fact, God exiled them from the promised land, just like it says here in verse 1. He dispersed them among the nations. Think of the prophet Daniel living in a foreign land. That's the time of the exile. But again, just like it says, God restored them and brought them back to the land. But when we're looking at history, this is where things start to get a bit sticky. What are we to make of verse 6? You want to read it with me? It says, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and all your soul and live." What's the problem here? Well, if you've read the book of Nehemiah, you'll know that even after God restores them to the land, even after the exile, after God's great redemption, things don't really improve. Go read Nehemiah 13. The people there certainly don't look like they're loving God with all their hearts and all their souls. See, the real problem was never the exile. The real problem was and always has been that we are rebellious sinners in need of new hearts. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of all your descendants so that you may love him with all your soul and live. That promise here in Deuteronomy 30 verse 6, 30 centuries ago, that promise is about Jesus. Right here, in the middle of this ancient passage, we have this incredible promise that reaches right out into the heart of the New Testament. It's Jesus who came and showed us the truly obedient life. It's Jesus who died and suffered God's curse so that we didn't have to. It's Jesus who rose to life so that we could have new life. It's Jesus who gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can have new hearts, so that we can love God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and live. I said we have a very different perspective on this passage, and we do. In fact, it's like we're standing at opposite ends of it. From the original hearers, we've seen how these promises came to pass. But once we realize our different perspective on this passage, once we realize that it's Jesus that fulfills these promises, we can see that in the end, we're not so different from the original hearers of Moses' sermon after all. In fact, the second section of this chapter hits us with full force. Choose life, says Moses, and it's like he's standing right here in front of us. See, the New Testament is just as serious as the Old Testament in its command for us to obey God. Peter writes, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Jesus himself said, anyone who loves me will keep my teaching. But here's the thing. Just like Moses all those centuries ago, these demands for obedience are always in the context of God's infallible plan. Remember Moses' message to his people. God's plan doesn't depend on your obedience. It's your obedience that depends on God's plan. Think how much more true that is for us. Jesus has died to pay for all our sins. We've experienced the infinite forgiveness and grace of God. Nothing you can do can reduce God's love for the world or get in the way of his plan. The message of this passage for us is exactly the same as it always has been. God's plan doesn't depend on our obedience. Our obedience depends on God's plan. Think how motivating that is. God doesn't need you. Your failure can't shipwreck his plans, but he lifts you up and folds you into his story. He takes your obedience and uses it to enact his eternal plan. What a privilege. Of course, we can and do fail. We give in to sin and selfishness. But that can't stop God. It can't even stop him loving you. He is forever inviting us onward and upward to join in with his story. Why wouldn't we want to? If you're a Christian here this morning, then God has already forgiven you. He's made you his child. He's given you eternal life. Your obedience to him is not an attempt to gain his love or favor. He already loves you enough to die for you. You are already his. Your obedience is your response, your delight at being made part of the story of God. Or maybe you are a child of God and your heart thrills at the thought of being part of God's story. Choose life, says Moses, and you say, yes! There's nothing I want more. But what does it mean day to day to choose life? What does it look like? Well, Moses doesn't leave us in the dark. Now choose life, he says. Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. That's in verses 19 and 20 here. Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. What is obedience to God? What does it mean to choose life? It's so much more than just ticking off a list of a set of rules. It's the direction of your whole life. It's the flavor of your whole life. Love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. There's so much that could be said of that, but this morning I want to talk about the second of those three things. Listen to his voice. And the reason is, I think we live in a society that is voice saturated. We create worlds for ourselves that are voice saturated. With TV and radio and smartphones and internet and Facebook and YouTube and Snapchat and Angry Birds and Netflix and advertising, endless, endless advertising. We fill every minute of every day with voices, voices that compete for our attention, voices that compete for our loyalty. Think of advertising. The whole point of advertising is to stop you from being content, to keep you dissatisfied, to trick you into believing that what they have, that's what will really make you happy. Or what about social media, the various platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, all the rest? They can be useful, but ultimately they don't care about you. Their only aim is to keep you on their site for as long as possible so they can sell your attention to their advertisers. Our society is full of clamoring voices. Some voices tell you that everything is good and acceptable so long as you enjoy it. Others tell you that everything different is dangerous and you should be fearful. One voice promises paradise, the next predicts disaster, the next says it's just best not to think about it at all. Which voice is trustworthy and true? Of course, the answer is obvious. But so often it just gets lost in the din. Listen to his voice. Do you listen to God's voice? I didn't come here this morning to give you a guilt trip about Bible reading and prayer life. That's not what this is. Think of it more about throwing out a life jacket. Do you ever feel like you're lost at sea, awash in a sea of voices, all of them clamoring for your attention, just living your life from one distraction to the next? I know I do. But there is an anchor, a solid place to stand. The secret to a life of purpose. There is a voice that cuts through the rest. Listen to God's voice. Read your Bible. Grab onto it like an anchor in the storm. Read and pray. Read alone. Read together. Come to church, to growth groups. Take every opportunity to fill your ears with the voice of the one who loves you, who wants to make you part of his story. Listen to his voice. This is what Moses urges us to do. Love God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. Obey God, choose life, but while you do it, never forget. The whole point of Deuteronomy 30 is that our obedience is always in the context of God's grace and his unshakable plan. God's plan doesn't depend on our obedience. Our obedience depends on God's plan. Moses' great speech and, in fact, our series on Deuteronomy both land right here. Moses knew he was about to die. He had lots of worries and cares for his people. He was sending them on without him. Obey God. That's the message of Deuteronomy, and that's his message to them. But here at the end of his speech, at the end of his life, he keeps the focus right where it belongs. In the end, this is not their story. God's plan doesn't depend on their obedience. In fact, it's their obedience that depends on God's plan. And 30 centuries later, at the end of our series, the message for us is one and the same. God has saved you, redeemed you, made you his child, and now he offers you the chance to join in with his grand story. This is what we were made for. So love God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. Choose life. Let's pray.